Are you tired of working with generic IT providers that rely on you to be the expert? Arc IT goes beyond just fixing your tech headaches. They specialize in proactive IT management, BIM support, and data security for architecture firms. The team at Arc IT gets your tech so you can focus on doing your best work. Whether you're a small firm of 10 or a growing practice with 50 or more employees, unleash the full potential of your creative vision with Arc IT. Visit getarcit.com and schedule your free IT assessment today. Hello, my name is Demetrius. This is Jason.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
And you are listening to Spaces Podcast Express. Thank you for coming back, everybody. Today's guest is a friend of the show. It's been on one of our episodes already. I think it was the career planning episode, if you want to go back and check out more about him. But he recently started his own company, X Engineering, so he's going to check in with us and chat a little bit, hang out again. So please help me welcome Puneet Kumar. Puneet, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys.
I got your last name right this time, right?
Yeah, pretty close. Kumar.
Kumar. I keep screwing that up. Puneet, thanks for coming back. So tell us a little bit about what you've been up to. Started X Engineering. What's X Engineering all about? And just catch us up on what's been going on.
Sure. Great to see you guys on the Zoom meeting, even though we can't be together in person. I started last time I was on your show. I was working for a large global firm, and since then, myself and my partner Eric Listener, we started X Engineering and Consulting. It's a civil engineering firm. We're focused on land development projects. We started technically in 2018. We're going on 2 years. We've been very fortunate. We got a great staff. We're up to about 15 people now, good clients, and we're really lucky. So I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to still be in the building industry. Haven't had to beg anybody to give me my job back yet, so that's good.
Awesome. Good. Hey, congratulations on making it 2 years, man. Most businesses don't make it 6 months. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Hey, Puneet, what exactly does X Engineering do? What are all your services? What are you guys doing?
So, you know, our bread and butter, obviously we're a civil engineer, and, you know, I'll just quickly tell you what, you know, the X is about and how we formed it. When we started the company, we try to think about what the company wants to stand for and what we want to do, what our visions, our core values are, all that stuff. We knew we have to do good civil engineering. That's just a given. All the firms, all in our industry, all the civil firms, they all do good civil work. So none can really say we do better civil work than someone else. Generally speaking, there's great talent in our industry. But then the second component to it is we like to think that we are land development consultants. Related to civil engineering work, we can assist with more than just the design of a plans. We can assist with how you phase your project, how you phase the construction, how you take advantage of how different aspects of land development will work, how we implement that into our design, and be advisors to our clients. And then the third item is all about service. The biggest thing that I heard from our clients is that the other groups that they dealt with lacked the service. And what I mean by that is responsiveness, taking initiative, being proactive, really things that aren't related to civil engineering at all. It's just related to any industry. And I think generally speaking, service has declined in general significantly throughout all businesses and industries. So,
amen. Good for you, man.
We have a way of how we stress service in our company, which that's a longer conversation, but it's not just about saying we provide good service. We have a procedure on how we practice it and how it trickles down from staff from the top to the bottom and what the expectations are. And then the fourth is career advancement, because if you want to be great at all these things, you got to attract good talent. And in order to attract good talent, you have to help individuals reach the success that their own personal success. So when you take those four components and you space them out, two on top, two on bottom, and you connect them, you get an X. So that's how we came up with the X engineering. It just happens to be a coincidence that my kid right here's name starts with an X. Awesome. Pure coincidence. So that added to it as well.
You know what's interesting, like, and good for you guys, because the service aspect is what I hear from so many people in all facets of business, like you were saying, and it's the easiest thing to do and the hardest thing, right? It's the easiest because it's not a hard thing to do to make people feel valued in that type of deal, but it's hard because of the amount of time and effort it actually takes, which is actually the hardest part of the whole business. And I think that's why people miss it, man. Good for you guys. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah. I thought the X was the X factor as you started explaining.
No, that would have been a little too cliche, I guess.
Yeah, that's funny. So let's dig into that service side. What do you think? There's a reason why service has declined in the industry or in business in general?
So, in my opinion, we're very lucky to live. You know, we live in Southern California, and most people that we come across are generally living comfortably. And for instance, the food in the restaurant industry, which unfortunately is not really opened at the moment, but growing up, many of my friends were servers, waiters, bartenders, waitresses in the, you know, that was maybe one of their first jobs. And if a customer has an issue with them, you know, my friends, generally most of them did not hesitate to give an attitude back, because they were going to go home to their parents' house and live a comfortable life and drive their BMW or their Honda Civic or whatever. I mean, they wanted the money, but if they got fired, it wasn't the end of the world.
There's no pressure.
Now, when you go to different countries in the world and you find a server, that person, it's typically their livelihood. They have a family to support, and they cannot afford to lose that job or lose that opportunity. So they're very inclined to provide such a high level of service. So learning that is one of my theories of why our service has declined in many ways, besides for the fact that we're Americans and we think we're so great and we can't take orders from people. We have to put our ego aside a little bit. The second thing when it comes to engineering, typically engineers, we don't like to talk much. We like to work. We like to sit in our office and focus on the plans. And when a client calls and they want to talk, sometimes we get nervous that, hey, I don't want to take this call. I can't really explain why the plans don't work the way I thought they would, or why I'm not able to get this done in time. So maybe if I just ignore the call, it'll go away. So when it comes to engineering, just dealing with so many engineers, I think communication can be a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. We touched a little bit on that last time we spoke about that sort of disconnection, I guess, with engineering and the relationship and communication side of the business. Are you seeing that change at all? And what needs to happen to change that? Is it part of the schooling that needs to sort of help push engineers? Or is it just a personality thing that attracts engineers and that's just sort of inherent?
Well, I think in most of our disciplines and schools, we're not really taught service.
Yeah.
So is there room to put a provide service 101 collective. I don't know how many people would pay for that, but it has to become part of a company's culture.
You know, yeah.
And in our company, the way we emphasize service is, as a project manager, I have a client and I provide a certain level of service to that client. And my direct reports, well, I am their client. And the way they watch me provide service to the outside clients, I expect them to provide the same level of service to me internally as their clients. So the goal there is, once, if and when they choose to become a project manager, and once they reach that level, they'll already be prepared to provide that high level of service because they've been doing it internally.
Yeah. Are you guys doing internal, air quotes, training, or is it more of just the way that you, like you said, just the way of just a simple explanation of, you know, treat this as if I'm your client or you're my client, or is it something more intentional?
There's case by case scenarios when, for instance, an engineer completes a set of plans and they deliver it to the project manager. And if I get an email that says the plans are ready, they're in the plotter, that's not service.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's an opportunity where you call the person over and you say, look, the way I expect the plans to be delivered is, you as the engineer, you print the plans, you organize them, you complete your QAQC, and then you find a time to meet with me and walk me through the plans and deliver them to me. That is how I expect the plans to be presented or handed off to me.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to find those opportunities. And similarly, when we with the current environment, we're not dropping plans off at clients' offices, or they're not coming to pick them up. It's being delivered by the reprographics companies.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be very service minded or oriented in how those plans get delivered, because if they just get dropped off with a pile of papers, the client's going to go, what am I going to do with all this? How am I going to organize? I don't know what anything is here.
Yeah.
So there's all these levels of service.
Yeah. The interesting thing, when you explain that scenario of the engineer printing and saying, sending you an email and saying it's in the plotter.
Yeah.
In my mind, I sense some of our listeners that are our generation and younger taking somewhat offense to that, in that, oh, you're too good to go and pick them up from the printer. But if you take a step back and really think about what you're saying, it's taking ownership of what you're doing, and you're taking on the responsibility to help your client, in air quotes, you as the project manager, to understand what you just did. So it's following through completely to make sure that you've delivered and explained what you have done to your client. And it's internal in that scenario, but it's starting to build that foundation to understand that when you do work directly with the client, you have to do follow through, even though you technically completed what you've done, but you haven't followed through to make sure that your client understands what you've done and is able to now do whatever it is they need to do with your product.
Absolutely. And you said exactly, kind of pointed to what something I mentioned earlier, is we have to put our egos to the side, you know, but you're too good to get that. And that's a true, and that's a real statement. But yeah, we have to put our egos to the side. And as you are an architect and worked for large architecture firms, I'm sure you can attest to many times where you sent a group of plans, a set of plans to the printer, and it just so happened to be missing sheet 8 of 12. For some reason, that sheet didn't print.
Yeah.
Right. So it's the, like you said, the follow through and the ownership. And these are simple things when you're dealing with clients. Yes, they are too good for many things. And if you take this approach that, oh, you're too good to do this, you won't have any clients left to work with. So our job, again, is to make our clients feel as if they are that good, and that's part of service.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other simple thing, just real quick, is picking up the phone when they call.
Yeah.
You know, or sending a quick text back if you can't talk. I will call you in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, those are little service things that when a client is frantic and needs to talk to their engineer right away, they have a question that they need answered right away. The last thing they want is to hear voicemail.
Yeah.
But if you can respond quickly with a text and say, call you in 15 minutes, that at least puts them at rest that my call has been noted and I shall be receiving something shortly.
Yeah. That is the biggest oversight, I think, in business today, is people not being able to, and in society today, is people not being able to put themselves in another person's shoes to understand they are going through something and they're freaking out. They just need to know that you saw it. And it's a level of adjustment that we have this technology where people can, you know, hit you so easily rather than sending you a letter that takes a few days to get to you. Email is a thing to adjust to, but just understanding that the emotional side is still there and you just have to calm everyone's nerves and let them know that things are being taken care of.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Yeah. So let's spend the last minute or so. Anything that you have going on that you want to promote, project, or anything you guys are doing within the company?
Sure. We're doing a few things. Well, Monday, I'm scheduled to be on a BIA kind of lunch and learn type thing, and to talk about civil engineering in the building industry. So I hope it's a part five of six series. And I'm hoping that people sign up to attend. I'm hoping I'm not talking to five people. There's a few more.
So that's the BIA Next Gen Lunch and Learn series, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Do you know how people can get to that off the top of your head? If they want to register.
Well, I'm going to tell them to email you, Demetrius, and then
I'll put it in our show notes. So if you're listening to this and you're interested, go to our website. It'll be in the description, so you can click there.
I'll email you a link.
Okay.
But we got a lot of really great projects we're working on in regards to land development, and we're seeing a lot of activity. Things slowed down a little bit during the quarantine. But there's a lot of new activity that we're seeing, and we're really excited to pick up on projects all throughout Southern California. So I would guess that's something that I'm excited to announce. And going back to the lunch and learn, we made a video. There's five of us on the video where we went to one of our projects and we pointed out a few engineering features that we designed that have now been constructed. And I think those that may be curious about what civil engineers do in the land development industry, it's a great video. I think it came out really cool. We're going to launch it for the first time at this Lunch and Learn. And I think it's a great video to show individuals who, whether you're in the industry and may not be a civil engineer, maybe you're an attorney, maybe you're doing marketing or things that are not related to the actual technical side and curious about what civil engineers actually do, I think this video will help answer some questions and share some insights.
Great. And then last thing, how can people find out more about X Engineering and follow you if you want to do social media thing?
Sure. Our website is xengineeringinc.com. I'm really not on social media. Like, I'm on LinkedIn. So we have a X Engineering page, and I'm not on Instagram or Twitter. I know people are always asking me what's wrong with me. Why am I not on it? But I try to keep my screen time down. It's already quite high. So, but I can be found on LinkedIn, and I can be found through xengineeringinc.com. You can follow X Engineering on LinkedIn.
Great. Thank you so much, Puneet. And to the listeners, we will talk again on Tuesday. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, Demetrius.
This show is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at gablemedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com. You can help support what we're doing here by leaving a 5-star rating and a review on your preferred podcasting app. It helps others find us, and your support is the only way that this show grows. And don't forget to connect with us through our Facebook community, Instagram, and see the random thoughts and articles that we share on Twitter and LinkedIn. Thank you again for spending some time with us. Talk soon.
Calling all AEC professionals. Get ready for unparalleled professional insights with detailed and original podcasts by RCAT. This is the podcast that brings you the untold stories and lessons learned behind the design and delivery of a building project. Hey, it's Charisse Lakeside, aka the CSI Kraken, and your host. Join me as we dive deep into the tales of conflict, triumph, and sheer ingenuity.
Yeah, so when Serena was named for the, it was going to be named for the building, you know, we really were able to work with teams at Nike Branding and how to really infuse her influence and identity in the very public spaces.
Detailed features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who spill the beans on the most complex, interesting, and downright odd building conditions they've encountered.
Another challenge of the shuttle is actually putting it in launch position is how you brace that seismically. It's really supported by only two pins at the base of the booster rockets. And there's a large base isolator that's underneath the shuttle that kind of prevents it from moving too much in an earthquake.
When you have 600 people or 300 people in a room, acoustically, you really need a high floor to floor so that you can have the right acoustic environment for people to be able to talk and that speech intelligibility is really good.
Every episode unveils lessons learned and connects you to the products you need to navigate similar challenges. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Detailed today and be prepared for the unexpected on your next project. Every building has a story, and we are here to tell it.